Psalm chapter 1, and we'll get here in just a moment. But again, we've been going through a study on helping to develop a biblical worldview. And last week, we were just kind of looking at how important the Word of God is. And tonight, I want to kind of just talk about how that we can not only live the Bible, but even help our children, help our young people live the Bible. And so this isn't just for parents that have children in the home or whatever, but this really is for everybody. Why is it so important that we live the Bible as a Christian, right? Again, there's a lot of people that use the word Christian in our society today. There's a lot of religions that use the word Christian, right? But when you actually look at who they are, when you look at what they say and what they teach, what they do, and you compare it to the Bible, many times you find it doesn't quite add up, right? It's not adding up. And so that's why it's so important that we understand and we develop a biblical worldview and we look to the Word of God through every aspect of our life. And let the Word of God help us. How many of you taught your kids to ride a bike? How many of you taught your kids to ride a bike, right? I don't know too many kids that weren't taught how to ride a bike, right? I mean, somebody taught them, they saw it, you know, whatever, were taught how to ride a bike. How many taught your kids how to talk? How many wish you didn't teach your kids how to talk, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. More hands were raised on that one than the first one, right? You know, I mean, what, you know, if you're a parent, you know, you think, what are the first two words you're trying to teach your kids to say? Mama and Dada, right? I don't know why we think there's got to be four letters to it, Mama and Dada. I don't know why it's got to be Mom, Dad. I don't know why, but Mama and Dada. That's the first words that we're trying to teach our kids, right? And it's amazing to me, you know, and I'm sure I probably did this, you know, when our kids were first born and we were teaching them how to talk, but it's amazing how many words parents think sound like Mama and Dada. You ever thought that? They're just blubbering away, and oh, they said Mama. I'm like, no, they didn't. Did you hear him? He said Dada in your dreams. Yeah, he didn't. You know, but we teach our kids to talk, right? We teach them to walk, right? We'll teach them to walk. We'll try to grab their fingers and try to help them take a step, and then we'll let them go and see if they can take a step. We try to teach them to walk. You know, we teach our children all these different things, right? We'll teach them, you know, to play ball, right? If you're a dad and you got kids that like sports, you try to teach them how to kick a soccer ball, or you try to teach them how to catch a baseball, or how to throw a football, or how to hit a golf ball, right? I mean, we teach them all of these things, right? And really, when you think about it, a parent's life really is made up of teaching our children all these different aspects, right? But here's what's really sad is how few parents teach their children to live the Bible. Other than salvation, one of the most important things that we can teach our children is one of the things that we don't teach. We don't teach them to daily read the Bible. We don't teach them to apply it. We don't teach them to live the Bible, right? We teach them all the other things. And again, it's important to teach them to talk. It's important to teach them to read. It's important to teach them all of those different things, okay? But teaching our children and teaching our young people the importance of the Bible is the most important thing that we can do as Christians in teaching them these things, right? I want you to look in Psalms chapter 1. In Psalms chapter 1, notice what the psalmist says here in verse number 1 and 2. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Again, I would say these are probably familiar verses to us, right? Verse 1 indicates what we should not be doing, right? He says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So here's what he's saying here. To be a blessed man, he said, these are the things that we don't want to do, right? If we want to be blessed by God, right, this is what we don't want to do, right? So in verse number one, he's indicating what we should not be doing. But then in verse number two, he shows us what we should be doing, right? But he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So verse number one, don't do this, right? Verse number two, this is what you should do. Verse number one, right? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful, right? Again, he's saying that's the world, right? As a Christian and someone that follows the Lord, these are things that he says, don't do these things. If you want to be blessed by God, don't do these things, right? But if you want to be blessed by God, do these things in verse number two. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, right? So he's giving this comparison, he's giving this contrast here, right? The problem I see is that too many Christian homes are doing it backward. We're doing it backwards, right? We're doing verse one in letting the world, the media, influencers, friends, coaches, whoever it might, teach our children. And we aren't doing verse number two in helping our children to learn to delight in the Word of God. And really, when you think about it, if you look at so many of our churches, is it any wonder that our churches are the way that they are? Because again, remember, understand, the way that the church goes is determined on how? The homes in the church, right? The way the church goes is based upon how the homes in the church go. Right? And when you look at what's happening in many of our churches and we see a dearth that's taking place in so many of our churches, it's not the church, it's because of what is taking place in the homes. We're not teaching our children to love the things of God. We're not teaching them that to get in the Word of God. Again, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Think about this. He says he delights to be in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? What's the law of the Lord? It's the Word of God, right? It's the Word of God. He said he delights to be in the Word of God, right? He delights to be in the Word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he delights to be in it. He enjoys being in it. In other words, it means it's not just a drudgery. It's not just something that I have to do. It's not something that I do just to check it off the checklist of these are my Christian duties that I have to do today. Oh, check that one off. I did it. Right? It's not just to be able to mark on the app, oh, you know, hey, I read it, you know. No, he says he delights to be in the law. And he meditates in the law day and night, right? There's a joy to be in the Word of God. There's a delight to be in it, right? And it's not just, well, here's 5 minutes because, you know, I'm supposed to be reading this chapter, so there's 5 minutes, okay, done, right? No, he says, he meditates in it day and night, right? There's a desire to be in it. There's a desire to think about it, to meditate upon it, to think about it even throughout the day and in the morning and throughout the day and in the night. Anyone want to guess what the greatest impact in the discipleship of children is in the home? The greatest impact of discipleship of children in the home. Anybody want to know what it is? Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about discipleship, right? So discipleship means they're already saved, okay, right? So we're not talking about salvation, right? That's the greatest thing that can happen in a home, is to see your children come to know the Lord, right? And I hope if you have children, you pray for them to be saved, right? I hope you pray for them and you talk to them about it, right? That's the most important thing. But if we're talking about discipleship in the home, right, that what is the greatest impact in discipleship of children in the home? Anybody want to take a guess? What do you think it would be? Those of you that are parents, what do you think it would be, right? What do you think it would be? To have the great, what could we do to have the greatest impact in discipling our children in the home? Lucas? Example set by the parents. Okay, example set by the parents, all right. Anita? Parents in the Word, okay. Anybody else? What do you think? What's the greatest thing that we can do in discipling our children in the home? We got being an example, parents being in the Word. Anybody else? Prayer, praying for our children, right? Praying with them, right? I believe it's helping them to develop a love for the Word of God. Again, yes, that the example is set by us being in the Word of God, right? But we have to help them to develop the habit of reading and studying the Bible and applying the Word of God, right? We have to help them to do that. Because here's the thing, right? One day, you know, they're going to get old enough and they're going to get married. They're going to move out of the house. They're going to start their own family and things. You know what? Mom and dad, can we say, are not going to be relevant anymore, right? They're not relevant anymore. But can I tell you what is always relevant? It's this book, right? And if we can help to teach them that this book is always relevant, no matter what age you're in, no matter what area of life you're going through, maybe teenager, young adult, middle age, senior, whatever it might be, the Word of God is always relevant. And if we want to significantly influence the faith of our children, we must make it a priority to teach them to study and memorize the Bible. Now again, can I say Master Clubs helps with this in a great way. Master Clubs, the program we do on Wednesday nights through the school year, they do this in an amazing way. And I'm telling you, if your kids are not in Master Club on Wednesday nights, I would highly, highly, highly encourage you to get your kids in Master Club on Wednesday nights. Because they help to, Master Club is kind of like a discipleship for kids, okay? Now, don't just leave it up to Master Club, right? And I'm thankful for our Master Club teachers and things. But even through the workbooks and things, they try to teach them scripture and then they try to help them apply it, right? Even as they get older in Master Clubs, and I'm not sure what age this starts, Brother Gray, you could probably correct me on this, but even they're supposed to be doing like devotions at home, right? What grade does that start? Is it fourth grade that starts? Fourth grade. So once they get into fourth grade, they even have like devotions and things that they're supposed to do at home, and then they bring it back and they get checked by the teacher and things, right? So Master Club helps with this. Our teen leaders do an amazing job with this. Our teen leaders, you know, try to help the teens to study and to memorize, right? They've come up with all kinds of ways that teenagers can memorize scripture, right? I mean, even that they can earn points and things to help pay for camp and activities and things like this, right? And you ought to get behind the teen leaders. If you've got teenagers in the teen class, you ought to get behind the teen leaders and encourage them all they can, because they are really working to try to help your teenagers to have a love for the Word of God, right? They do the same thing in the teen class. They have devotions that they send them home with and they can do throughout the week, and they encourage them to memorize scripture, right? There's memory verses they can memorize every week, and they can earn points for it and things like that. So they're doing all of these things, right? Master Club, Sunday school teachers, teen leaders and things. But here's the thing. Where should it be started at? Where should the main emphasis be at? In the home, right? That's where it needs to be, okay? Again, I'm so thankful for the teachers that we have, and I'm so thankful for the materials that they're using to try to help our young people. But here's the thing, right? They try to help the young people, but what about the parents? What about parents? Where are the parents in this, right? You know, the young people have Master Club books. You know, parents, are you involved in helping them with these things? You say, well, it's their class, it's their responsibility. You're the parent. You're the parent. Help them with it. Find, what are they learning? What verse are they memorizing? Are you helping them memorize it? Are you working with them, right? Parents of teenagers, find out what are the teens doing? What are they learning in class? Help them with these things, right? What are the verses are they memorizing? And I know the teen leaders try to do a great job of this. Every week they try to send out to the parents, these are the verses that we're memorizing this week and things, right? Parents, you've got to get involved in this, right? We're leaving it up to the teachers. We're leading it up to the Sunday school teachers and the Master Club teachers. It's not their job. Sorry, that was a little harsh. It's your job. Now, I'm thankful for them, and they do an amazing job. But why are we leaving it up to them? Why are we leaving it up to the young people? Well, if they want to memorize it, they'll memorize it. Teach them. You didn't say, well, if they want to learn to talk, they'll learn to talk. No, you taught them. You took time to teach them. It may have been difficult, and some may have learned quicker. Some may have learned, it may have taken time. But you still took the time to teach them these things. Why is it that when we come to spiritual things, we just relegate it to the church, or we relegate it to, well, if they want to, they want to. Wait a minute. This is why our churches are failing. This is why we're not seeing more people serving the Lord. This is why we're not seeing more missionaries going, because we're just, it doesn't really matter. And it's beginning in the homes that this is taking place. And this is why it's so important, and this is what he talks about here, right? Think about what the psalmist says in Psalms 119:11. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Think about that. He says, thy testimonies, the word of God, have I taken as a heritage. He said, this is my heritage. This is my inheritance. I guarantee you, if you sat your kids down tonight and you said, hey, I just want you to know, this is our will, right? And in our will, we have left each of you $1 million. I guarantee your kids would start listening a little bit more, right? Okay. But here's what's going to happen. They're going to try to do everything they can to honor you, to please you, because they're seeing, hey, this is an inheritance that we have from our parents. God says he has given us the greatest inheritance we could ever ask for. We have the word of God. And yet we don't spend any time with it. We're not involved in it. We're not studying it. We're not looking at it. And this is what's really interesting. There's a couple Christian groups out that every once in a while they do surveys and studies and things like this. And again, I understand these are not, the surveys and things that they do are not what we consider strictly what we would call Christian. It's a broad term. It's a broad word that they're using for Christian here. But Lifeway did a survey and found that 19% of Christians, 19% of Christians read their Bible daily. That means one out of every five people going through church doors, only one out of every five going through is reading their Bible on a daily basis. Why? We don't think it's important. We don't think it's really that important. Only one out of every five Christians reading their Bible. What's interesting, though, is when you compare that survey to another survey that a group by the name of Barna, some of you have heard of Barna and Summit Ministries did, they did a study and found this, that only 17% of Christians, 17% of Christians have a biblical worldview. Now, think about it. Is it a coincidence that those two numbers are almost identical? Is that a coincidence, or could there be some correlation when only one out of every five Christian is reading their Bible? Why would we expect there to be anything more in a biblical worldview than 17%? You see how this, just by taking time to read the Bible every day and study the Word of God, man, it changes our whole outlook on life. Because we understand what our purpose is and what we're here for, right? And so this is why it's so important. So I want to give you a couple things here tonight. I'm going to give you five things. And again, these are things that parents, you can do with your children, with your teenagers, whatever. It doesn't have to be just parents. These are things that every Christian, I would say, ought to be doing, right? But these are things that we can do to also help our children to learn the Word of God, and so that they can have a biblical worldview as well, all right? I'm going to give you a couple things here, okay? Number one, make it a habit to read the Bible. Make it a habit to read the Bible, right? I'm not going to do this, but I wonder if we were to do that same survey at First Baptist Church, I wonder what the survey would be of how many Christians... Let's just say from the beginning of the year, right? Let's just say from the beginning of the year, how many Christians of First Baptist Church have read their Bible every day or most every day? I understand maybe there's a day or two, maybe in the past 5 months that maybe we've missed, but on a consistent basis, reading your Bible every day, I wonder how many Christians would say, that's me. I wonder how many. Make it a priority. Develop a habit to read the Word of God, right? Again, think about what he says and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've looked at this passage a couple times. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 6, he says, and these words which I command thee this day, what words? Right? What he just said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He says, you've got to love God more than anything else. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Man, the word of God must be in our hearts. I think one of the young people quoted it tonight. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We've got to hide God's word in our heart. Friend, the only way we can truly hide God's word in our heart is if we're reading it. Now look, I understand that it ought to be more than just reading, right? It shouldn't just be a reading to check something off of a checklist. There ought to be a desire, again, to delight in it, to read it and to think about what is God trying to teach me. And we're gonna get into that in just a little bit here. But again, if we're going to teach our children to love God, it's gotta be in our hearts first, right? We have to set the example, right? Parents, we can't expect our children to read the Bible every day if we're not reading the Bible every day. If we're not making a habit of reading the Bible, we can't expect that of our children. Right? You know what that's called? If we expect our children to read the Bible every day, but we're not reading the Bible every day, you know what that's called? That's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. We're saying, you should do it, but I don't have to. No. If anything, parents should be doing it more than the children, more than the teenagers, right? We need to get in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God has the answers to all of life's questions. If we really believed it, I think we'd be in it a little bit more. Right? And so this is what he says. It's got to be in your heart. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then he says, then you can teach them to your children. Right? So make it a habit to read the Bible every day. Now, I get it. I understand there might be a day or something that, man, the alarm, you know, you hit snooze too many times and you woke up and you got to get out of the house and you got to get to work. And man, right after work, there's something at the school and things like that. And by the time you go to bed, you're exhausted and you didn't read the Bible today. Okay, I get it, right? I understand how life can be, okay? But don't let that be a recurring excuse, okay? Make it a habit to read the Bible every day. Read God's word every single day. By the way, you ought to make sure that every one of your children have their own Bible. I don't think that's far reaching in our church, right? You ought to make sure that every one of your children have a good Bible that's theirs, right? It ought to be their Bible, right? When they come to church, make sure they have their Bible. Right? When they're going to class, make sure they have their Bible. When you're making a habit of reading the Bible every day, make sure they're reading their Bible. Right? Get them their own Bible. Make sure they can do it. And again, I understand, you know, sometimes when they're younger, it's hard for them to read and things like that. I get it, right? But let them have their own Bible. Get a copy of God's word that is just theirs, all right? So make a habit to read the Bible. Number two, have a family Bible time. Have a family Bible time, right? Again, you're making sure that you're reading your Bible as an adult, and you're making sure that the kids are reading their Bibles and the teenagers are reading their Bibles, and whether that means you have to set up a time every morning and say, okay, it's 7 o'clock, from 7 o'clock to 7:30, you're gonna read your Bible, right? Fine, whatever you need to do, help them, okay? But then you need to have a family Bible time. Okay? Have a time when you're together as the family reading the Bible together, right? You're reading the Word of God together as a family, okay? Again, the Bible tells us that, parents are to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, right? So we're together. We're not just saying, okay, you've read yours, I've read mine, now out we go, right? That's great. They've read theirs, you've read yours. Now, sometime throughout the day, maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's in the morning, try to have a family Bible time, okay? And have a plan. It might be that you say, hey, you know, you've got young kids. You know what we're going to do? We're going to read through the Bible together, right? I mean, it may take a couple years, right? You don't have to read like 50 chapters a day, right? I mean, just say, hey, every day at our family Bible time is we're going to read 25 verses, you know? And if it goes, stops in the middle of a chapter, we'll stop in the middle of a chapter, but we're going to read 25 verses every day. And our goal as a family, eventually we're going to read through the whole Bible. That's not a bad thing. Read through the whole Bible together as a family, right? I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying have some type of plan that you're going to use to have that family Bible time. And again, here's one thing that everybody thinks they've got to do with family Bible time. They think that having a family Bible time means you have to have church. I'm not saying you got to have church. You don't have to have three songs, right? You don't have to get up, have somebody come up and lead the song, Amazing Grace. You don't have to do that, right? You don't have to collect an offering, although parents, if you want to, that'd be fine, you know? Right? Collect an offering from the kids, there you go, right? But if the kids want to sing some song, maybe they've learned a song in Sunday school, whatever, fine. Again, you're going to make it age appropriate. You're trying to make it fun. You're trying to make it exciting, okay? You know? If you've got teenagers, they're probably not going to want to sing I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time, okay? They're probably not going to want to do that, okay? So you try to make it age appropriate, all right? But have some type of plan that you have this time together. Again, it may just be 5 or 10 minutes, right? It doesn't have to be an hour, right? It could just be 5, 10 minutes a day, right? But you have a time where you're going to read something together. You're going to read a portion of Scripture together. You're going to discuss it. You're going to talk about it, right? You know, take turns reading as they're able to start learning how to read. One of the things that we've always done in our family whenever we read is we'll go around. You know, I'll read, my wife will read. When Megan was, by the way, everybody know Megan's here? Yay! Megan would read, and then Addie would read, and then Brianna, and then Brian, and then Levi, and as Malachi learned to read, and we just go around, and we just keep going around, right? Everybody has a part, right? They're going to read, okay? And again, as they're younger, they might struggle and they might not be able to pronounce all the words, right? You got to be patient, right? But have everybody reading together, okay? Again, you're making a family Bible time. In fact, we're actually working on a devotional book that has a daily devotion along with a weekly memory verse. My dad was this something you put together in Uganda? He put this together in Uganda, but working to try to actually incorporate it for our church here. And you can do this as a family each week. And it's got every day it's got a verse of scripture you can read together. Again, it's not a long portion. It's just a verse or two that you can read together. It talks about specific character traits throughout the year. Again, this is designed to go for a year. So, you know, maybe one week you're talking about the character of love. Maybe another week you're talking about the character of peace, and the verses are designed to go along with that character trait. There's a memory verse that the whole family can work on. Not just the kids, but the whole family can work on, right? And then there's even a fun activity you can do. And again, obviously, you know, you're going to have to make it age appropriate, right? If you've got young kids, it's a little bit easier to do kind of some funner things with them. You know, teenagers are just, no, we're not going to do anything fun. We don't like fun, you know. But you know, you can do something with that, right? And even if it's just, you know, even if you do it with your grandkids, if you have grandkids, you could do it with your grandkids, right? But we're working to try to put this together. We want to have this available in the next month or two or whatever. But if we were to have this again, it'd be like in a book form. It's 52 weeks, right? It's a whole year's worth of things that we're putting together here. But if we were to do something like that, how many families would say I would actually be interested in that? Would you just raise your hand? Again, if you're not, you're like, I would never use that. Please don't raise your hand, right? I mean, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You're going to hurt my dad's feelings, but he's not looking, so it's all right. I'm just kidding, right? But how many of you say, I would actually really be interested in something like that? Just raise your hand so we can get just kind of an idea, because we have to get them printed. We want to make them nice, right? And we're not just going to run them off a copier, and you know, we really want to make them nice. Just kind of get an idea. Somebody help me count. Keep your hands up real quick. Count over on this side. Who's up? Shane, count that side. Joel, count the middle here. Tyler, stand up and count this side over here. Just get a number. I just an idea, all right? It doesn't have to be exact, but just kind of get me some numbers. Because again, we want to make it nice. We're gonna have it printed and everything. And that way you can use it. Because again, we want families to spend time together in the Word of God. And to make it fun, to enjoy it, right? again, we cut up and we goof off and stuff. I mean, there were times when we're reading through, and just to make it fun, right? I'm thinking, all right, how can I make this fun? We're reading through, and you know, reading through scripture. It's not really necessarily a story type deal that we're reading through. And so all of a sudden, when we get to the word sheep, instead of using the word sheep, I'll just go bat. And everybody looks at me like, you're weird, Dad. The next time we get to the word sheep, bat. Well, you know what's funny is they start catching on. And then when they get to the word cow, they're like, moo. Like, what's wrong with you, you know? But you make it fun. You make it enjoyable. You find ways to make the Word of God enjoyable, right? It shouldn't be something that we're just like, oh, I just don't know. It's just reading the Word of God together, right? And so have a family Bible time, right? And again, I understand sometimes scheduled and things like this may not work out to do it, you know, all the time. But really work to try every day to have a family Bible time if you can, right? So make it a habit to read the Bible, have a family Bible time, right? Number three, while you're doing this, teach them core doctrines, right? While you're going through these things, teach them core doctrines, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a question here in just a second, but this is why I believe it's so important for them to know core doctrines, okay? Colossians 2:8 says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Right? So understand, the world is going to try to introduce their philosophies, right? The world is going to try to introduce all of their ideas and their traditions and all these different things, okay? And so it's important that we teach the core doctrines of the Bible, right? The core doctrines, okay? Now, again, I'm not saying you got to teach every single doctrine that there ever was, but what are some of the core doctrines we ought to teach our children? And again, going back to the Word of God, not just this is what it is, but we go to the Word of God and we show them from the Word of God, this is what the Bible says about this. What would be some core doctrines that our children ought to know? There shouldn't be a hesitation in their mind to be able to talk about some of these things and explain some of these things, right? Ms. Rachel? Salvation by grace through faith. That ought to be number one, right? Number one, salvation by grace through faith. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ alone, right? Period. Brother Jake? Eternal security, right? Eternal security. Man, once you're saved, you can never lose your salvation, right? Brother Corey? The deity of Christ, right? That Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God, right? The three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? And understanding the Godhead, again, teaching them these things through Scripture, right? What does the Bible say about this, okay? What would be some other core doctrines? Shane? Inerrancy of Scripture, right? We have the Word of God. We have God's Word, right? We can trust it. It's accurate. There's no mistakes. God promised to preserve His Word, okay? So we can go to the Word of God. What would be another one? Yeah. Sanctity of life, right? How important it is to protect life, right? Especially innocent life, okay? So teaching them the sanctity of life. When does life begin, right? Again, go to the Word of God. By the way, it's in the Word of God. It's there, right? We just don't take the time to look at it, okay? What would be another core doctrine? Rachel? The virgin birth, right? That Jesus was virgin born, right? And going through all of that, again, there's a lot of things that people will try to say, oh, no, that's not really true. That's just a story. That's just a fable. No, go back to the Word of God, right? We need to teach them core doctrines, okay? Because, again, the world is going to do everything they can to persuade them against it. Psalm 78. Look in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Look in verse number 5. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Does that sound kind of similar to what we just read in Deuteronomy? Does that sound kind of similar? He said, here, I'm giving you my commandments. I want them to be in your heart, and then I want you to teach them to your children. That's basically exactly what he said. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Why? Look, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, right? So notice this, there is the fathers who have taught us here in this passage, right? And then we're teaching it to those that are going to be born who will teach it to their children. So you've got four generations being spoken of here in this passage, right? There's four generations here, okay? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now watch this. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He said the reason why this is so important is because there was a generation that didn't do this. Let me give you an example. Go back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2. Joshua, Judges. Of course, Joshua came right after Moses. Moses was the leader that led Israel out. And then Joshua took over, and Joshua was a great military leader, and God used him to conquer the land and to divide the land with Israel. And of course, Joshua was the one that we have that famous verse that many times, if you go up to a home, you're like, oh, I bet this is maybe a Christian home, because on the door outside or something, it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? Joshua dies. Watch what happens here. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. It's kind of hard to fathom that, really. I mean, they're not that long out of Egypt, and they've been delivered out of Egypt with the plagues. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've crossed the Jordan River. They've seen all the victories of Jericho and all the different people there. And just like that, it says they forgot the Lord. That next generation that came after them forgot the Lord, and they started serving Balaam. This is why it's so important. You say, well, you know, I love God, and I'm bringing my kids to church and everything. Well, that's great, but you need to teach them to love the Word of God. You can't just say, you know, and again, you've probably heard this so many times before, you know, so many times young people, I go to church because it's my mom and dad's church, you know. It's my mom and dad's religion, right? No. It can't be just mom and dad's. We've got to help them make it theirs. We've got to help them make it theirs. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for so many of the families here that really work with their young people. I mean, to have young people that are sitting on the front rows, right, couple rows, and to be faithful to church and things like that, that's not normal in a lot of churches. And I'm thankful for that, right? But look, it can't just be something that we do at church. It's got to be something that we're working on at home as well. Right? So helping to teach them core doctrines. And then let me give you two others very quickly, and then we'll be done. Number four, teach them how to study the Bible. Teach them how to study the Bible, right? Studying the Bible doesn't mean you have to have all kinds of other books. You don't have to have commentaries. You don't have to have all these other things, right? We're going to talk about that in just a second. Teach them how to study the Bible, right? In other words, when you're reading, right? There's basically three or four questions, if you will teach your children to ask, And even as you're reading and you're having your family Bible time, you can ask these questions with your family to kind of get questions being thought about so that even as they're reading, they're going to be thinking these questions as well, right? So here's a couple questions you can ask them or have them to ask while they're reading. What is the passage saying? Just a general observation. What does the passage say, right? What is it talking about? Okay? What is it saying? Is it talking about a miracle? Is it talking about, the Ten Commandments? What is the passage talking about, right? And then number two, right, what does it mean? What does it mean? What do we think he means when he says this, right? When Jesus says, and he asks the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they say, well, that, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he says, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why did Peter say that? What do you think? Why do you think Peter was able to say that? Why didn't Peter think one of these other men? Why did Peter specifically say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? You're trying to get them to think about things. You're not just reading. You're trying to get them to ask questions, right? That's what studying the Bible is all about, right? You're trying to study. You're trying to glean from it. You're trying to learn from it, okay? Ask questions. How can I apply this in my life? As I'm learning it, as I'm studying it, as I see, the reason why Peter said this is because he believed that Jesus was the Christ. He believed that Jesus was the only one who could save him from, well, how does that apply to me? I guess that means, if I'm going to apply that, I have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, right? So how is this going to affect me? How does this apply to my life? How can I use this in my life, right? So as you're having that family Bible time, and by the way, you can do this as a husband and a wife. You don't have to have kids to do this, right? If you're single, you can do this. That's how you study the Word of God, right? You ask these questions, right? What is he saying? What does it mean? How do I apply it, right? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to Jews? Is he talking to the disciples? Is he talking to a Gentile? Who's he talking to? It's going to help you to understand what's being said, right? So again, ask questions. Teach them how to study the Bible, okay? So when you're having that family Bible time, ask questions. Why do you think Jesus said this? When Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, was he really calling Peter Satan? Is that really what he was doing? Was he saying that Peter was Satan? Or was he saying something else, right? You're trying to provoke thought, right? You're trying to get them to think. Now, if they're young, they might ask questions and they might be like, I don't understand. I don't know. That's okay. That's all right, right? You're just trying to get them to learn how to start thinking and how to start studying through the Word of God, okay? Because again, they're going to grow up and you're not always going to be able to be there. So you've got to teach them how to ask these questions. You've got to teach them how to study the Bible together, right? And to study it on their own, right? And then, this is the last one, you can provide tools for them to use, right? I said you don't need these things to study, but you can show them how to use a commentary. Here's what somebody else said about this passage, right? I would encourage you to get a good a dictionary, like a Bible dictionary, because there might be some words that I'm not sure what that word means. All right, let's look it up in a Bible dictionary, right? You know, he said he was going from Nazareth to Bethlehem. What direction was he going? He's going from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Is he going east? Is he going west? Is he going north? Is he going south? What direction is he going? By the way, if you read scripture, you'll find out that you could be south of Jerusalem and go up to Jerusalem. You could be north of Jerusalem and go up to Jerusalem. You could be east and west of Jerusalem and go up to Jerusalem. What? But see, if you have if you get like a Bible atlas, you'll be able to see where some of these places are. You can see where Nazareth is. You can see where Bethlehem is. You can see where they're at related to the Jordan River, right? The Jordan River. You can see where Jerusalem is. You can see all these different places. And it helps you as you're reading to be able to say, hey, this is where they're at, right? And even during that family Bible time, you can have a Bible atlas. You can say, hey, this is where Jesus is at. This is where he is going, right? And it says that he was going from Judea to Galilee and he must needs pass through Samaria. So where's Judea on the map? It's right here. Where's Galilee on the map? It's right here. Where's Samaria on the map? Well, it's over here. So why is he going over here when he could just have a straight shot? What are you doing? You're trying to get them to think. Some of you are thinking, like, why did he do that? You see, you're trying to get them to think, right? You're trying to get them to think about, how can I study the Bible? How can I get these questions answered, right? So yeah, you can have some tools that you can help, you know, a commentary. Again, a lot of these things you can find online and stuff. You can have it on a tablet or a phone or something. You can get commentaries, you can get dictionaries, you can get atlases and Bible atlases and things. Have some tools there. Give some visuals, right? You know, it's very easy to Google pictures, right? I don't think there's probably a parent in here that doesn't know how to Google a picture, right? If you were to Google the Jordan River, you could probably find a picture in like 2 seconds, maybe not even that long, right? Hey, this is what the Jordan River looks like, right? This is what Jerusalem looks like. This is what Jerusalem used to look like, right? Let them see these things. Why? You're trying to get them to have a love for the Word of God. Why? Because as they have a love for the Word of God and they're in it and they're studying it and they're meditating on it, they're reading it. Again, what did he say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Right? We're trying to develop in our own lives and help our teenagers, help our young people to develop a love for the Word of God so that we can live the Word of God. If we don't have a love for the Word of God, we're not going to live it. We're not going to live it, right? And so these are just some practical things that we can do in our own life. Hey, make it a habit to read the Bible, right? If you're single, study the Bible. If you're a married couple, read the Bible together. Have a family Bible time. If you have children, have a family Bible time. Even if they're teenagers, right? Hey, teenagers, get together with your parents. Read the Bible together, right? Some of you may get mad at me, but that's all right. I'm going to challenge you. You young people, teenagers, young people, tonight when you go home, go to your parents, say, when are we going to have family Bible time? You can get mad at me, that's fine. It's all right. Ask your parents, when are we going to have family Bible time? Encourage your parents, right? Encourage your parents. Hey, let's have a family Bible time. Parents, you got to go to your kids. When are we going to have family Bible time? Let's look at our schedules. Let's see what we can do. Because this is something that is vital to the home. If we're going to have a Christian home, this is vital to it. It's so vital to it, right? And to teach them to study the Word of God, teach them these core doctrines, provide them with the tools that they can use. You don't have to have a degree from some Bible college to study the Word of God. You don't have to have that, right? You don't have to have gone through our Bible Institute to study the Word of God. Just ask questions as you're going through it. Do it together as a family and watch your children learn to the Word of God, and they start developing a love for the Word of God. They start, hey, didn't Jesus say this? Didn't David say this? And watch them develop a love for the Word of God. Why? Because we want them to live the Word of God. And we need to live the Word of God. But we've got to set the example for it, right? I hope these things will be helpful to you. Father, I pray that you'd help us in these things. And Lord, we need to live the Word of God. We need to help our teenagers, our young people to live the Word of God. Lord, it has to be done first in our own heart and in our own life. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, what a sad statistic that 19% of those who call themselves Christians take time to read the Bible every day. Lord, that's sad that we don't have time for your word when you've taken such great care to make sure that we have your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray for our church here. I pray that that statistic would not be said of our church. I pray that the adults in this church and the teenagers in this church, the young people in this church would truly have a love for your word. And they would do exactly what the psalmist said in Psalms 1 and verse number 2. That his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Lord, help us to love your word. Help us to get in your word, to study it together personally. Lord, help us to have a love to and desire to help others to know it, our children, our young people. Lord, that they can be able to be encouraged through it. And so, Father, I pray you to help us in these things. Lord, we need Christian homes. We need Christian homes that have a love for you and for your word. Lord, I think of so many of these young people here and what you could do in their lives. Lord, these parents, what you could do in their lives if we would be able to live your word out in our everyday lives. Father, I pray you'd help us with these things. With our heads bound, our eyes closed, we're not going to stand. But just quietly, I'm just going to ask the pianist just to play softly. Maybe tonight, maybe God has spoken to your heart. There's something in your life. Maybe as a parent, as an adult, maybe you fall in that category of that 19%. You're one of those 81% that's not reading the Bible consistently. Maybe tonight you just need to say, Lord, would you help me to do better? Help me do better to read your word. Parents, maybe you need a husband and wife, you need to get together and say, hey, we need to start having family Bible time with our kids. Reading the word of God together. Praying together. Teaching them these things in the Bible. Don't relegate it to the church. The church is there just to help. It needs to begin in the home. Do you have a love for the Word of God as an adult? If we don't have a love for the Word of God, it's going to be hard to be the example to others that they need to have a love for the Word of God.